Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to worship at New Dublin. I am very glad to see all of you, and I hope that you encounter the Lord today in our worship. There are some important announcements in your bulletin. I call your attention to those. Next week is July 4th, which is, of course, Independence Day. It is also the first Sunday of the month. So we're going to have communion, and we're going to have our first Sunday feast, which is a potluck. So the expert will tell us about that.
And it has changed to be not a potluck.
It's not a potluck.
It's a free lunch that we are going to offer to you all of the congregation. I had to write it down because I didn't want to forget anything. I just wanted to let you know that this is the day that we celebrate America and the freedom. At this time, we celebrate and give thanks to the Lord for everything that we have. So with that in mind, the New Dublin Presbyterian Church would like to celebrate you, the congregation, and give you thanks for all your support. As a token of appreciation, we would like to invite you to a celebratory lunch next Sunday. The church is providing everything from hot dogs to watermelon and everything in between. So come next Sunday and celebrate America and celebrate us. It's free.
Well, thank you, Teresa. Teresa and the whole committee, that you all are rock stars. People online can't hear us unless we wear the mics, which is why I'm taking it on and off. Choir practice is resuming on June the 30th in here. We enjoyed our choir very much last week, and we're so glad that you all are resuming in leading us in worship. We're delighted. So if you are in choir, if you're curious about choir, if you're mildly considering that one day you might possibly like to sing with the choir, you're more than welcome. They would love to have you at 7 p.m. June 30th, Shepherd's Room. If you're here, you know worship is at 10. Glad you all got the memo, and glad that you all are here. Homecoming is July the 25th, which is exciting. Invite people if you know. And that's a potluck. Potluck on homecoming, not a potluck on the 4th. And VBS, as you all have been told and are aware, that's a big thing coming up in the life of our congregation. I'm not going to read you everything, but all the information is here on the bulletin board. There are flyers. Every time I go somewhere, it feels like I find those poster boards inviting people in, which is great, and thank you. To you who made them, thank you for doing that. Thank you for those of you who took them and put them places. What else needs to come to the attention of our community? Excellent. Yes. So if you have a story for the newsletter, it is due noon on Tuesday. And the email address, Jane is graciously writing that for us. Her email address is in on the back of here, I think. It's somewhere. It's in here somewhere. Oh, it was in the last one. We'll get you. If you don't know it, email the church and we'll send it to you. Anything else? Tim.
Long after many of us sing. this pen on the way in. Take a look on the radio.
Yeah, they are beautiful. And thank you to Robin, and thank you to the Building and Grounds Committee, and to you, Tim. I know you all worked very hard on that. And next week when we're outside already, we will also have a dedication, a brief dedication in the worship service for the shutters as well.
I'd just like to take a minute to thank Dale Cook, and she would kill me for doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. There was two bags of these beautiful hats laid back in their room this morning, and we used these for the Cancer Center in Pulaski. We also have a group of blanket makers in this congregation that help us do the fleece blankets for our patients there. But I want you all to stop by and just take a look at these before you leave today. I mean, she has done absolutely gorgeous work with her leftover yarn. And so many times you all don't get to see really what's going on in donations. So be sure and thank Bill for what she does.
Absolutely. Those are wonderful. And it's a wonderful ministry. Seeing nothing else, let us prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of the Almighty God. Please rise and join me in the call to worship. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name.
Lord, his name rests on the Lord, but his favor rests for lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.
You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent.
Lord, my God, I will praise you forever.
Lord, our God, we do praise you that you care even about our worship here in this place, that in our worship, we join the worship that forever goes on before your throne with the angels and the archangels and the whole company of heaven. And we pray that in this time, we would remember what we are about, that our hearts and our minds would be free of earthly cares and concerns and daydreams, that what we offer you this morning would truly be the worship that pleases you. Through Christ our Lord, amen. The hymn is number 333 in the blue hymnal.
Thank you.
We know all too well that our world is not perfect, and when we are honest with ourselves, we know that we contribute to that lack of perfection in our world and in our relationships. And when we come to worship, we find ourselves needing to confess those sins. But when we do confess our sins, we don't need to be afraid, and we don't need to dread it, because we know that the God who is perfect is also the God who loves us and is eager to forgive all of our sins. So let us confess our sins before God and one another in the certainty of that hope. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And be at peace. Be seated. Sometimes people ask me, somebody asked me this week, startled me. Why, especially in that sequence of confession, we so often use the same words, so often use the same prayers, so often I say the same thing as an assurance of pardon. And it's not because, you know, I can't think of something else to say, but it's because in worship, Sunday service is not the only time you're ever going to be aware of your sin, and it's not going to be the only time where you start to worry that maybe God isn't going to forgive you. So the hope is that by hearing these words, often the same words, every Sunday, those phrases and those prayers and the assurance get stuck in your head so that it's there when you need it, when you're not here for Sunday worship. So just brief explanation there, because I have been asked, and it's a good question. Now is the time that we invite our children who are present to come for a special time, to come sit with me. But if you prefer, you can stay in your seat. We can do it whichever way. They're not. They're grown. They're grown. But thank you for coming and humoring us anyway. I appreciate it. Well, can I ask you a question? Yeah? Do you get everything you want? No? No? Do you get some things you want? Sometimes? Yeah? Why do you think that is? Why do you think you get some things you want? Do you think it might be because your parents love you? Yeah? They could, legally speaking, just give you, you know, a house and some food, and that's it. But they give you more than that because they love you. Why do you think you don't get everything you want? Maybe it's because your parents love you. And maybe sometimes we want things that aren't good for us. like too much candy, or maybe just sometimes getting everything we want is bad for us as our characters. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that the reason that our parents don't give us everything we want is because they love us. And the reason that we get some things we want is because our parents love us. Yeah. And I think God is that way too. We pray and ask God for what we want, but God doesn't always give us those things. And maybe it's because God loves us and doesn't want us to be given things that are going to hurt us in the long run. So when you pray, if things don't work out the way that you prayed and asked God to make it happen, then I'm just going to encourage you all to keep praying and to just trust that God knows what he's doing, and whatever happens, it's because God loves you. Okay? Can you do that? All right. Let's say a prayer. I'm not going to make you hold hands with each other or with me, but we'll say some words. We'll say some words, and then you all can say them with me, and our congregation can join in. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for taking care of us. Whether we always recognize it or not. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Thanks for being good sports. You can go back to your seats or back to worship and wonder, whichever one you want. As we come to a time of scripture reading and preaching, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of these words. We thank you that Jesus spoke them, that his followers recorded them, and that you have preserved them throughout countless crises and centuries and disasters, so that they would come to us, so that we could hear, as the first disciples heard, what you have to say to us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. It's crises, isn't it? That's okay. This morning, we are reading from the book of Matthew, as we have been, from the Sermon on the Mount. This week, it is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. We're going to start at the end today. We're going to start with the last thing we read, which is probably maybe the most famous thing Jesus ever said. It's certainly very common. A lot of us can sing at least one version of this ask, seek, knock business. We just did. I know at least one other, courtesy of VBS as a child. I bet you do too. But the most famous... The most famous thing of all is what we call the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the version in my head. I bet it's the version in your head. Or, as what we read today says, do to others what you would have them do to you. If you don't know anything else about Jesus, if you have no intention of following him, If you're allergic to the whole idea of religion, you still probably know the golden rule. You still probably think it's a good idea. And there's a decent chance that you think you can improve it. Because the golden rule tends to create a lot of spitting contests. A lot of religions have some version of it, most of them in the negative. Don't do to other people what you don't want done for yourself. Jesus, as far as we can tell, is the first person to flip it around, to put it positively. Don't just avoid hurting other people, but actively do what you want done for yourself. And that's harder, first of all. It's more difficult to achieve. And it's also a real moral step forward. Now, there are other guys, especially recently, they're usually business gurus or self-help writers, and they think that they can do one better. If the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, they've got a diamond rule, a platinum rule, and it is do to others as they want done to them. And you'll get more customers and sell more widgets if you put it that way. The customer, after all, is always right. Give them what they want. Don't assume, they say, that you and the other person want the same thing. Fortunately for us, Jesus is not interested in selling us anything. And the so-called improvement, give people what they want, is maybe not an advancement at all. Because despite our habit of taking this line of Jesus's out of the Sermon on the Mount and polishing it up and calling it the Golden Rule and serving it isolated on a platter, Jesus didn't actually just announce it one day out of the clear blue sky as a bit of advice or as a hint for how to make friends and influence people and sell them stuff. Maybe it is the flower of the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know. Some people think it is. But if it is the flower of the Sermon on the Mount, the roots run deep into the things that have already gone before. And if you cut it, it's going to wilt pretty quickly. So far, what we've got in the section that we've been in for the last couple weeks has come, a lot of the commands have come in the form of negative advice. Don't worry, right? Don't worry, he says, and we know that the corollary to that is instead trust God to take care of you. Don't condemn other people. Don't turn the anxiety outwards. Instead, trust that God is going to take care of them as well. Act as confident children of a loving Heavenly Father. That has been the thrust of at least the last 3 weeks. It's a high standard. How are we going to attain it consistently? And in the face of that question, Jesus in this week is circling back around to prayer. And he does it by giving some pretty remarkable promises. When you know what you want, when you know what you need, ask God for it. Jesus said he will give it to you. When you don't know precisely what you need, when you don't know what you should pray for, and I think we're all in that situation every now and then, seek, Jesus says. You're going to find what you're looking for. When you're faced with a closed door, as we all have been, who've lived very long at all, we all know what it's like to seem to have a closed door in a silent heaven. When that happens, Jesus says to knock, because the door is going to be opened. And he tells us a little story to make clear why that is. Most of the people listening to Jesus in that day and age had children. Most of us today have children. And if we don't have children, there are little ones that are dear to us. Nieces or nephews or grandchildren or little friends here at church. Imagine, says Jesus, imagine that one of these young children that you love, your child or your friend, comes up and asks you for bread, for a roll, maybe downstairs in one of our dinners. Are you going to give them a stone? Is it ever even going to occur to you to think about maybe giving them a stone? Of course it's not. And if your young friend asks you for a fish, Jesus says, would you give them one of the snakes that is far too common around here? Of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't think about it. And Jesus, you know, is not sentimental about our capacity for inflicting pain on other people. If you who are evil, he says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to the children, won't your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? A remarkable passage. When we come to God in prayer asking for what we want, that's how God sees us, the same way we see our children or our young friends when they come to ask us for something. That same love, that same tenderness, that same compassion that we feel for our little ones, God feels for us. That's what Jesus is saying. So ask, seek, knock. It's hard, especially here and now in our weary and secular culture, to not feel cynical about all this. We know all too well that promises like these can be and have been abused, used to turn God or the preacher into a golden vending machine of promise and opportunity if you just send some money in. We know that promises like these have been used to take advantage of the poor and the desperate. But when Jesus said them, he didn't intend for them to be taken alone and isolated out of a vital and life-giving relationship. He's not giving you the secret key to the universe that only a few people know. He's not handing you the secret genie in a bottle or teaching you a magic spell. He's showing you what it means to live in relationship with the Almighty God of the universe who has chosen to reveal himself to you as your loving Father. When Jesus tells you these things, he means to change your future. He means to change your whole life. And in light of that, it's probably not too surprising that he means to change what you want as well. He's not content to leave your desires as he found them. So what do you want? What do you want? So much of the reading this morning hinges on that question. We're told to pray for what we want. We're told to treat other people the way we want to be treated. What do you want? Those of us who are the parents or friends of young children know that they can't always be relied on to want sensible things or even safe things. Have you ever seen a toddler in meltdown because you told them that they can't drink the toilet bowl cleaner? There's a blog, Reasons My Toddler is Crying. I recommend it. Maybe we're a little more sophisticated than young children. We're not going to throw a fit because we want to drink the toilet bowl cleaner. But we're still prone to desire substances and relationships and vengeances and lifestyles that are essentially as destructive to us as the toilet bowl cleaner would be. And just like we won't let our children play in the cleaning supply closet, the loving Heavenly Father who will not give us a stone instead of bread is also not going to give us the poisons we want because they look shiny and delicious and brightly colored. Jesus isn't going to leave our destructive desires as he's found them. He's going to change what we want. Slowly, it's not going to happen overnight, but slowly we're going to learn to really want the things that Jesus taught us to pray when he taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. We're going to really want God's kingdom to come instead of plotting for clever ways to build our own little empires of power and influence. We're going to really want to forgive other people as we've been forgiven, instead of enjoying our fantasies of revenge and humiliation. We're going to learn to really want to honor God and God's image in the people around us instead of just, you know, being nice and polite and not rocking the boat like we Southern people have been drilled into us from infancy. We'll learn to really want justice and mercy instead of just preferring not to make a fuss like the decent people we are. And then, with our desires transformed, with our loves rightly ordered, as the old theologians would put it, then we are free to treat other people the way that we want to be treated, because our desires won't be destructive anymore. They won't hurt our neighbor. After we've been formed by the gratuitous generosity of our loving Heavenly Father, after we've learned to ask, seek, knock, after we've been taught to pray, after we've been shown what it is to live as children of God without anxiety, without condemnation, then Jesus tells us the golden rule. He doesn't lead with it. It's not the first thing out of his mouth, because if it was, we wouldn't know what to do with it. It's only after we've been trained, after we've been taught and formed by the other things, that what we want for ourselves can be relied on to be good for our neighbor as well. I wonder how we would act if we learned to want those things, if we learned to recognize the image of God in the ordinary people around us, if we learned to really want to uncover that image in ourselves and in other people, to blow off the dust and shake away the things that obscure it or dishonor it. If we learned to really desire for ourselves and for other people the things that would cause flourishing, once we've learned to desire the things that come from our relationship with God, our Father, I don't think it would look like selling anything. I don't think it would look like identifying a potential customer or an easy mark. It might not even look, at least initially, very appealing to the person on the receiving end of it. It might be awkward. It might be alarming. It certainly won't be easy. But it would be love, and not just any love, but the overflowing, unending, reckless love of God the Father to the children that he has made and chosen. And that's the kind of love worth having. So to the God of all grace, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please join me in our affirmation of faith, which you can find in the bulletin, in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We have come to the part of our service where we pray at length, usually, for the world and for those we love. We will continue to pray for Jim Stout as he faces surgery this week. We continue to pray for the healing of Susan Dobbins as she recovers from surgery. And we pray for the health of Margaret Power's daughter, Betty, as she goes through some medical appointments this week. And I believe, Anne, do you have updates from...
Well, just with Jim's spout, Mary Catherine, what you said, the reason we're not here today or worshiping with you is they've got 10 family members coming in for Jim's surgery on Tuesday. It's open heart surgery, and in doing tests, they found more stuff that they should be aware of, which is good that they did the test. They will be in Roanoke, cannot have visitors, and I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think that's it. Yeah. But I think she will be allowed to stay with him for a while.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you for bringing those updates for us. We also continue to pray for Raminta Burris, who's going through some health struggles as well.
Actually,
Chase Sam, who's Kellen's older brother, had some
significant facial surgery
day before yesterday, and
we pray for Chase's recovery. I have a nephew, James Boone, who's married to Karen, and they lost Karen's father yesterday. Mm-hmm. So we pray for their family. And his body, walking on his ways.
Seeing no others, let us go to our God in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you that you have adopted us as your children and heirs, and that you care about our prayers, that you care about our world, about our pain. We pray for the church that you have called to serve and to worship you in this world, in all the times and the places and the ways which you have called it into being. We pray for the church and its struggles, for congregations which work and pray and worship under the threat of persecution, that you would give them peace, that the blood of the martyrs would be the seed of the church, that those who work to stamp it out would not succeed. We pray for the church as well in places where it is all too easy to be Christian, where the truth and vitality and urgency of our mission can fade into complacency. We ask that you would guard us from complacency and wake us up, that in faithfulness, we would serve you in our time and place. We pray for the world which you created and love, that you call very good, for the nations of the world. We pray that where there is war or the rumor of war or civil unrest, that you would give a just and honorable peace. That where there is natural disaster or man-made disaster, such as in Miami, you would bring healing and rebuilding. We pray for our own country, for the United States of America, for our president and our governor, for our courts, for all the institutions that impact our culture, that all who serve in positions of authority would serve well for for the good of their people and not for partisan motives or their own selfish gain. And we pray for our own community, for those dearest to us, for Jim and Betty and Susan and Raminta, for Chase, for the family of Bobby as they grieve him, for those whom we name before you now in the silence of our hearts. We ask that you comfort the grieving, that you heal the sick in body or in mind, that you accompany the dying, that you give companionship to the lonely, and in all lives that you would work wonders beyond all we can ask or imagine. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The hymn is number 281 in the blue hymnal. The world in peace, have courage, love, and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you all, now and forever. Amen.